Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Like, when I have a clear idea of what being hot and having fun means to me, I know what it takes to facilitate that for myself. So I know that that's what I have to offer other people if we are friends. Hi, welcome back to Friend Crush. I'm your host, Amber Akilla. This is my podcast where I talk about stuff and things, cute, chaotic, and critical thinking. You can find me on Instagram, Spotify, SoundCloud, TikTok, Twitter, at Amber Akilla, and the meme page for this podcast is at friend.crush. Website I'm working on for merch. This is like a fresh episode. Like, I'm recording this and it's going to go live. So I'm really like, kind of time has sort of caught up with me in a way. I hope everyone is doing well. I'm doing good. I'm kind of like really tired recently because what's the reason? Well, I went to Saigon like a week or two ago. It was so fun. It was really great to like be in a new environment, meet new people, go to a great party, eat amazing food, and came back to Shanghai and my like sleeping schedule has just been totally out of whack. I guess because it was like the national holiday. So it was like a week off for most people. I was still like DJing and kind of working over that time. And I became like really obsessed with watching Sex and the City until 4 a.m. every night. And then I mean, the holidays just ended. It's like the week after the holiday. And I've kind of had to like stop watching Sex and the City because Carrie gets so annoying as the seasons progress. And the outfits are like not as cute as they were at the beginning of the series. But yeah, I think like season 6, I just kind of like watched very sparsely. I'm going to watch maybe like the last 3 episodes of the series and maybe watch the movie. I don't know. But it's been interesting. Like, how my interpretation or understanding of the show changes or has changed so much watching it now as like an adult. I think, you know, I watched the show maybe when I was younger in my early 20s and I didn't really get it the way that I get it now. And it's crazy how like a lot of the themes and stuff are to me kind of timeless, you know, like obviously people can have discussions about like the political correctness of the show or whatever, but I just think like determining whether like art is good or bad according to whether it's politically correct or not is kind of not dangerous, but like it's kind of boring, or like because people are not politically correct in real life. I think political correctness is maybe like something that we could aspire to, but not something that we are actually like able to practice in reality, and being able to talk about like uncomfortable or sensitive topics in an entertaining way sort of like allows us to be more open about how we discuss and understand these things. But that's just my opinion. So yeah, I mean, I've been good. I finally feel like I live in Shanghai, I think, after over a year. The other week, I went to this noodle shop that's open 24 hours, and I always go after a night out and, like, take people there if we want to eat after we finish at the club. And I went in and was like saying in Chinese, like, oh my God, finally back in Shanghai and I can come and eat noodles at like 4 a.m. And the owner, or like Laobanyang, boss lady, she was like, yeah, I haven't seen you in a long time. Where have you been? And I literally almost wanted to cry. Like when you feel like integrated into your local community beyond just like your social circle, I feel like that's such a, it's like a special kind of privilege and luxury that comes with living in a certain city. And she is like such a badass. She can cook like a, like noodles, soup, noodle soup, dumplings, fried pork cutlet. Like she'll cook all of that by herself in the restaurant. And I also get like people commenting on how I look like very aloof, like gaoleng. I don't know how to properly translate that. Like I look intimidating or whatever. But then like, oh, in reality, like people realize that I'm not that chill. Or like I'm a lot more like warm once you get to know me. But like the woman who works at this noodle shop, she is like for real poker face. So for her to be like, oh, where have you been? Haven't seen you in so long. It just really touched my heart. I hope she knows the impact she's had on my life. So yeah, I think that speaks to the way that it can take time to adjust to new environments, and it's important to check in with yourself and be honest with yourself about where you're at without sort of like setting unrealistic expectations or shaming yourself for it. Because me, maybe like 5 years ago when I first moved to Shanghai, I thought like, oh, you know, I'll just need like 3 to 6 months here and then I can like go somewhere else. But it's more like a 3 to 6 year thing, if that, you know, like you never really arrive, I feel. So I think that like this time coming back, I really sort of tried to give myself the space to just adjust at my own pace, but also have like some kind of goal in mind, you know, but like without kind of making that goal at the forefront of my mind when I did things. It's like, okay, I'm going to come back first year, I'm not going to do like frivolous travel. Okay, sorry about the siren. I'm going to try to avoid doing frivolous travel because when I was in Shanghai before, I was just like bouncing around all the time. I mean, luckily for the first like 8 months, you couldn't really travel outside of China. So I just said to myself, like, okay, focus on travel opportunities for work, but don't just like book a trip just because somebody suggests that you should go on holiday with them or you should go somewhere with them. You know, you don't want to like Sagittarius placement too close to the sun. So I really tried to set that kind of limit for myself. And then I think that, you know, also my experience with the pandemic, like arriving, or not arriving, but like getting stuck in Perth for that 2.5 years, the first year was like really tough because there were so many things that I couldn't predict. I had no idea whether I was going to be able to come back to Shanghai or not, and like when that might happen. And I just tried to, or I started to understand that, you know, like what culture shock actually is, or like reverse culture shock. Because when I first moved to Shanghai, I didn't really have that. You know, I was just so desperate to leave Australia. And I feel like I was really lucky to just kind of like slip into a new environment. But yeah, it was tough like going back to Perth and then coming back to Shanghai. Like that difference was also huge again, because it's kind of different when you've like lived somewhere before and like you know people or people know you, and then you've been away for a long time and you come back. But yeah, so I tried to be like patient with myself, and now I feel like, you know, giving myself time to work, giving myself time to socialize, giving myself time to just like re-familiarize, learn how to live here again, I guess. That takes time. You know, you can't like force that process. You know, a lot of the new connections that I've made, I couldn't force that to happen in a 3-month window. You know, it's taken as long as it's taken. And I think, you know, modern life, we expect everything to be so instant. We can order things online and have them delivered within an hour if we want. It can like fuck with your expectations when it comes to things that can't really be quantified, like your relationship with someone in any capacity, whether that's like friendship, work, whatever. So yeah, I feel like very grateful for my experience and like the people that I've like met, the people that I've been able to work with, the people that I'm friends with, and people that I mutually like love and support, and you know, that we're cheering each other on. So I feel very blessed. And I think it's just like my reminder to anybody out there who's feeling sort of like they need to be making progress at a certain pace that they're not making progress at. It's like, you don't need to be so hard on yourself, you know, have some goals in mind and do your best for the things that you can do. And just trust that you will be led in the direction that you need to be led in. You know, like a lot of the things that I sort of have like thought about wanting to do, but I haven't been sure about how I'm going to do it, those opportunities have sort of come to me very organically and in ways that I just like couldn't predict, you know? And I think especially working in the creative industry, like because I've also kept an open mind in terms of the types of work that I do, the types of jobs that I take on as a freelancer, because, you know, it can be easy for people to say like, oh, you need to be really picky with what you do, or you need to make sure you're getting paid a certain amount of money all the time. I think that definitely applies when you're working on like commercial projects. But at the same time, like if you haven't been in a place for very long, it's difficult to assert your value to people who might be offering you opportunities, you know? So I've done a lot of work that's like low paid, unpaid, and those opportunities have led me to paid work. So I don't think it's as simple as like, you know, you need to be getting paid a standardized amount every time. That's not going to happen in the creative industry anytime soon. So finding a balance between doing things that put you in new environments, allow you to meet new people, get experience for your portfolio, and then also being able to assert your value when you're in a situation where you have like more bargaining power. So yeah. Okay, today's topic is, what do you have to offer? And I've done a episode on like, what are you getting out of it when it comes to situations or dynamics where you're feeling really like taken advantage of, or you are not feeling hot and having fun, and how recognizing how you feel in those situations allows you to set better boundaries. But I think that the opposite end of that is better understanding what you have to offer in certain situations, so that you can also like set boundaries. That's like another way of setting boundaries and another way to sort of grow into self-acceptance and self-actualization. Because I think sometimes when you're not sure of who you are and you have anxiety around, or you have anxiety or like trauma around being taken advantage of, you can kind of like flip-flop on your boundaries when you are assessing what you're getting out of a situation. You know, like I might feel like if I'm unsure of what my capabilities are, who I am, because I'm stuck in like a people-pleasing complex and I'm being told like, what are you getting out of it? What are you getting out of it? I don't even know what I want out of something. So how can I assess what I'm going to get out of a situation and where to draw the line if I'm not even sure like what that is? But if I work on better understanding myself and what I have to offer, which I think comes with self-acceptance and also an ability to enjoy being alone and enjoying your own company, then it's much easier to determine like, okay, if I'm uncomfortable in this situation, if I'm not feeling like this person appreciates me, then it's much easier for me to walk away because I know that I'm going to be fine on my own. I can sit with my own feelings. I can sit with myself and keep myself entertained. And I can also go out and socialize and connect with people like as I am and not feel like my future is riding on this connection, this like one connection that's not even really working. And then also I think when it comes to like seeking work opportunities, at least from what I've observed, like working in the creative industry and as a freelancer, because recently I met up with someone who was like kind of at the beginning of their journey. And it was interesting that the way that they were like so ready to ask me to give them resources and connections and opportunities without actually thinking about what they have to offer. Like, how can I connect you to opportunities and other people when you don't even know what you want to do? Like, if you can't communicate that to me, then how do I communicate that on your behalf to other people, you know? So it applies in like all contexts of life. I think, you know, the way that we work is also a reflection of who we are and how we understand personal dynamics, that sort of like trickles into professional dynamics and vice versa. So when it comes to like knowing yourself, I think that this is a constant journey, okay? It's not like, okay, I know myself and this is who I am and this is how I'll stay. I think being open to the ways in which you change, the ways in which circumstances change as well as you go through life, allows you to sort of like check in every now and then with who you are. And for me personally, like because my taste changes really quickly on like a micro and a macro level. So I might be really obsessed with eating something for a week and then the next week I'm over it and I don't care about it anymore and I won't eat it for like another year or like ever again. Or, you know, like I really am into like a certain makeup look and then that changes too. So noticing these like micro changes on like a superficial level allows me to stay open to the ways in which like what I want out of like friendship, what I want out of work might change too. And like recently, for example, I mentioned how for the last year, I've really tried to focus on just like being present in Shanghai and not like jumping around a lot. I think like I've done a lot of commercial work in the last few months and now I'm noticing that I'm like really hungry to just have time to myself and explore like boundless creativity, you know, like being able to just explore for the sake of exploring without constantly thinking about a client requirement. So that's kind of like how I'm reshifting my priorities for the next 2 months before the end of the year. And I've also like just come back from Saigon and I'm going to Tokyo tomorrow because I want to be able to also nurture the part of me that enjoys traveling and being in new environments, which also allows me to better appreciate Shanghai when I'm away and when I come back. So accepting and acknowledging the ways in which you change at different stages and being open to that, because if you aren't open to that with yourself, you know, you can't communicate that to others and then you can't sort of like ask or expect that from your experience, you know? So there's that. Also, when you're okay with being alone with yourself and not feeling like you have to constantly have someone around, and I don't just mean like physically around, but also just like mentally around, because especially now, like you don't have to go outside to meet people or talk to people. You can just swipe and chat and type from the comfort of your own home, which I love, you know. But I also think that it's important to be comfortable with just chilling by yourself, you know, and not constantly being stimulated or overstimulated. And I don't mean like you have to cut yourself off from the world, but just have times in the week where you don't have to be like totally plugged in, you know, like the world isn't going to end because you didn't reply to an email or a message within an hour. So for me, that's like Mondays. I try not to go on Instagram or TikTok. And I feel like that has like a really profound effect on my mental state, you know, just having a day where I'm not constantly checking in or scrolling or like replying to DMs, and also just sort of like managing the times that I'm on social media. So trying not to go on before the afternoon most days also just helps me to have like clarity of mind during the day, and then I can go on and be crazy in the evening. And I'm not like crazy strict about this, so I do my best, but it helps a lot just in allowing like space in my brain. Like I've taken the last 2 weeks off TikTok, and now I'm like, wow, there's like too much space in my brain. I need to like look at memes. So I'm excited to log back on later this week. Yeah, having time to yourself, being able to entertain yourself, being able to go to things by yourself, you know, eat alone, go to like a yoga class by yourself. I don't know. I think some people really struggle to like do activities alone. I think for me, I've been given a head start in that regard because I grew up as an only child. I was like kind of like forced to be very independent from a young age. So I have no real issue with just like doing things alone, you know. I also like as a DJ as well that doesn't really drink, and wasn't ever really in like a group, in a friendship group of people who like party together. Like all of my friends' interests kind of like diverge when it comes to whether they enjoy going out or not. So for me DJing, I'm so used to like turning up to parties by myself, leaving parties by myself. And obviously it's kind of different when you're like working, but it still has helped me a lot in terms of just being like comfortable being alone, you know, and like going to a place and like meeting people there or being open to meeting new people. So when you're comfortable with yourself, then when you have like conflict or resistance with relationships and situations, you can assess whether or not like pushing through that serves whatever your higher purpose is, serves you being hot and having fun. Does that make sense? Because like when I think about recent situations that my friends have told me about in terms of their friend breakups or like conflicts they've had in their relationships and conflicts I've had in like my previous relationships, it's like whether it's romantic or platonic, I have a much clearer idea of the types of friendship that I want now that I'm getting older. You know, like I want us to have a good time together. I want us to mutually support each other. I want us to be able to have uncomfortable conversations or to be really honest about ourselves to each other without judgment. Okay. It doesn't matter like whether I agree or I don't agree with what you think, whether you agree or you don't agree with what I think, but having that space where you can be unhinged. You know, like I'm always telling my friends, like, this is a safe space. Say whatever you need to say, and then we'll figure it out later, right? So that's like the general vibe of the friendships that I want. And when I think about like conflicts that I've had in friendship in the last few years, when something comes up for the other party and I don't feel like working through it will facilitate the types of friendship that I want, then it's much easier for me to create a bit of distance and not feel like I've done something wrong or like I'm responsible for making this connection work in the way that that other person expects of me. If it comes at the expense of like what I want, you know, and this isn't about like who's right or who's wrong, is just like a compatibility issue and recognizing it for what it is. Like I'm much better at doing that now because I'm comfortable with myself. So I'm not like, if I don't have this friend, I have nobody. I'm like, I have a lot of friends. I'm very lucky. And I also trust that like I'll meet new people, even though sometimes, you know, you might feel like, oh my God, is this like what life is? That's it. But you go to an event, you work a job or whatever, and you meet someone new, and it's like exciting to make a new connection. So, yeah, because I feel much more comfortable in who I am. And, you know, I don't expect other people to do anything specific for me and my sense of self. It means that when people suggest or imply that I need to change in order to make them comfortable, I'm just like, well, I'm not going to do that. I am who I am. I'm going to change at my own pace, but I can't change who I am so that you feel better about yourself if it makes me feel worse, you know? And I think this is why like radical acceptance is really important, and like decentering moral binaries and like who's right, who's wrong, what's woke, what's not woke. Like if somebody is not woke to your standard, you need to let them be problematic in their own time and come to their own conclusions, you know? If you get in the way of that, the odds of them just doubling down increase a lot, right? And that's the same in friendships when, and romantic relationships, you know, if you are like desperate for someone else to change who they are in order to make you feel better, then you're going to limit that person's growth and ability to really like show up authentically for you. So you either accept people as they are or you let them go. And I had a situation where, you know, I felt like I had accepted my friend for who they were. Plenty of things that they did that I didn't agree with, or like things that they said that I felt were maybe like a bit inappropriate or like a bit unhinged. But I understood that, you know, they're on their own journey and I can still appreciate the friendship for what it is. But they confronted me about a bunch of stuff that's like not even really related to me personally, but kind of expected me to change who I am in order for them to continue being friends with me. And I was just kind of like, I don't really know what you want me to do because I don't expect you to change. And like the things you're saying about me, I could easily say about you, but I would never say that because I don't need you to be different. But they were implying that I needed to be different. So I'm like, you know what? Like it's not, I don't think this is going to work. Even though their endpoint was like, if I tell her how she needs to change, then she can change and this friendship can work. But I'm like, but I can't change for you in the way that you want. So I think it's kind of like when you can have this approach for your own life, you take things a lot less personally and you're just like less frustrated with situations because you can just see it for how it is and decide to what degree you let it affect you instead of feeling like you're responsible for making other people change according to how you think the world should be, you know, like put the information out there, put yourself out there authentically, and then allow like your experience to align. You know, not everybody wants to be hot and have fun the way that you want to be hot and have fun. But if you're being hot and having fun according to your definition, you can facilitate that for other people in an indirect way. You know, not everything is such a direct exchange the way that capitalism makes it seem like it has to be. So self-acceptance, being okay with yourself is important when understanding what you have to offer, right? Because when like people try to tell me to change in ways that would make them more comfortable, I just feel like it's always about very superficial things that people who I actually am connected to and I actually like and mutually support, they've accepted. You know, they don't, that's like these are like basic things when it comes to knowing me. And if you can't accept that, then we're just not compatible, you know? Like when I have a clear idea of what being hot and having fun means to me, I know what it takes to facilitate that for myself. So I know that that's what I have to offer other people if we are friends, you know, or being able to develop an awareness of like the skills that you have in friendship, in work, the resources that you have in friendship and in work means that, you know, it's easier to determine whether you are compatible with someone or if you're compatible with a specific opportunity or not. And you can't like know fully all the time, I don't think. Or maybe some people do. I don't. I'm just saying. Like, I have a maybe like 60 to 80% awareness, and then there's like 20% that I am unsure of or not as confident in or not aware of, and I think that's fine. But just having an awareness at all means that if someone's like accusing you of not being enough or needing to change, you can just recognize that that is a deficiency that they recognize in their life, and they are seeking external ways, external means of like fulfilling that need, right? When it's like, if they could better do that for themselves, they wouldn't be coming at you saying that you need to be responsible for that. Like, I knew someone in the past who would always say that like they want to meet new people, and I would facilitate that for them, you know, because I cared about them as a friend. But me and other people around them also recognize or acknowledge that sometimes it could be very awkward with them in new social situations, because I don't know if they were like insecure or they lacked self-awareness in certain areas, but they could say out-of-pocket things or like kind of be a bit of a mood killer. So I was still like trying to facilitate new connections for them with this information, and like people even close to them saying that they don't even bother introducing them to new people because of the risk of them like being a mood killer. But then that person kind of like accused me of being a mood killer in discussions about certain topics, which I can understand, but I also know that like, yeah, I can be opinionated about certain things, which might be uncomfortable for some people, but I also know that I can facilitate people having fun as well. And the people that I, you know, do have fun with, and I don't have to worry about being social liabilities, I can speak very honestly with them. They can speak very honestly with me, and we keep it moving, you know, unlike this specific relationship where sometimes I feel like I have to manage this person's mood, or I have to like do damage control around any social interaction we might have. So I took it a lot less personally when they were accusing me, because I was like, well, this is more of a deficiency that you see in yourself in terms of your ability to make situations like comfortable for you and new people that you meet. Obviously, I wasn't going to say this to them, but I could see that, because I feel great about my relationships. You don't feel great about this relationship. I didn't actually do anything to you, so that's on you. You know, I know what I have to offer friendships, and I know that I did everything that I could in that relationship to, you know, facilitate and support what that person communicated to me was how they want to be hot and have fun. And if that's not enough, then I'm not going to go out of my way to like...
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
To be enough for someone who doesn't feel that they themselves are enough, you know? But yeah, knowing what you have to offer as well also means that you don't feel a need to defend or justify who you are to people who like get off on you kind of like groveling for their attention. Like the way that men on the internet are like, oh, what do women have to offer? What do you bring to the table? That's none of your business. Like, I don't know you, and you will literally never meet me. And even if we did meet, you don't have a chance. So why should I go out of my way to tell you what I have to offer? Like, you either are open to the connection and getting to know someone, or you're not, you know? Like, I don't ask men that I might be interested in, or like friends that I might be interested in, what do you have to offer? What do you bring to the table? It's like, I'm open to this connection and getting to know each other and seeing whichever direction that it goes in. I don't need you to like justify who you are. So only insecure people are thinking in those terms, like, what do they have to offer? What do they have to offer? Only when someone is being demanding of me will I be like, what do you have to offer that should require me to go out of my way for you if I don't know you? You know, like this kid asking me for opportunities and resources. I'm like, but why would I do that for you? You know, like you haven't demonstrated to me that you can do anything, let alone do anything for me, to ask me so brazenly for opportunities and resources that I have worked hard for. It's like strange to me that you could be so demanding, you know? But it's always worth shooting your shot, because the worst thing that people can say is no. Like me not being able to facilitate anything for them, they can maybe find someone that they, you know, would actually be able to, that have like compatible needs and opportunities, desires, whatever. But yeah, I feel like when you know who you are and what you want, then you can say no or say yes to the right things for you in that time. And then you can also better assess like what you're getting out of something and whether that's something that's worth continuing to pursue or something that you can distance yourself from or just let go. So yeah, oh my God, I have to go to yoga. Thank you for tuning in today. I hope everyone's doing well. Follow me on Instagram, TikTok, Spotify, SoundCloud, etc., etc. The meme page for the podcast at friend.crush. Subscribe to the voice memo episodes. We might be taking a little break over the next like 2 weeks while I'm away, and just on like main episodes, and I'll still put up like voice memo episodes, or I'll put up some extra voice memo episodes. Yeah, so like the season's not over, but maybe we just take a little breaky break in the middle so I can get my shit together and record new episodes. Yeah, thank you so much for tuning in. Love you. Stay hot and having fun. Drink lots of water. Tell your friends and family that you love them. And I'll speak to you soon. Bye.